This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. As we remain standing, let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for this time we have to be gathered together in your presence. Lord, I pray that as we dive into your word this morning, that we may have open ears to hear, open minds to understand, and open hearts to receive your spirit and your word this morning. Lord, I pray this all in the great name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. So I'd like to start off today just by telling a brief story of a fun Christmas when I was about 7 or 8 years old. So when I was 7 or 8, I saw an ad on TV that Lego was making a set with the greatest ship in Star Wars lore, the Millennium Falcon. As a huge Star Wars fan and as a huge Lego fan, this was the greatest news I had ever received at that point in my life. I then ran to my parents to make sure that they had heard the news as well. When Christmas morning came, I ran down the stairs, ran to the Christmas tree, and I saw a box with my name on it, and I had this strange mix of emotions. I was excited because there was a chance I could be receiving the Star Wars Millennium Falcon, but at the same time, I was anxious because I knew there was also a slim chance I could be receiving a new sweater and a couple of books. And on Christmas morning, I vividly remember I ran down the stairs and I saw this box wrapped with my name on it. I very slowly tore off the corner of the package of the wrapping paper, bracing myself for what could be the greatest thing I had ever received, or for what could possibly be one of the greatest disappointments in the 8 years of my life to that point. A few seconds later, I saw the Star Wars logo on the corner of the box, and I was ecstatic. In fact, I was so excited that I jumped up, I tripped, and I fell backwards into our family's Christmas tree, knocking it over. So I want you to pause. I want you to pause just for a second, and I want you to think, what was the best news you have ever received? How did you feel at that moment? Were you excited? Did the news make you feel any sense of anxiety and anxiousness? Or were you too overwhelmed to even fully process what was happening at that moment? Now think about for another moment how you responded to this news. What did you do? Did you pause, take time, and let it sink in? Did you call your friends and your family to let them know what had happened? You see, receiving good news can lead to so many different feelings and emotions. This was incredibly true for the shepherds we just read about together in the gospel reading. It was also true for Mary. In fact, there are amazingly formative things we can learn from how they all responded to the good news proclaimed by the angels that Christmas morning. But before we look at their responses, it's important for us to answer this question. What is the good news the angels brought to the shepherds? Now, if you're hearing this question for the first time this morning, I am so glad that you are here and hope that the good news will transform your life as it has transformed mine. And if you've heard this question asked 1,000 times before because you're here every Sunday, I hope that the living and active Word of God will spark something in your heart that will draw you even closer to Jesus. Now, the gospel reading we just read together, the shepherds out in the field at night, watching over their flock, you probably know what comes next. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around the angels, and the shepherds were terribly afraid, which makes a lot of sense. It was very, very dark. There was no light pollution at this time, so when the glory of the Lord shone through the darkness of that night, it was reasonable for them to be afraid. And Luke tells us in verse 9 that, in fact, they were filled with great fear. And many of you know this story. You've heard it read every year in the Christmas Eve service, or you've heard it read in the Charlie Brown Christmas movie, which happens to be one of my favorites. Either way, most of us have heard this story before, but what I want us to consider together is what the angel says next. In verse 19, the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you what?" He says, "Good news of great joy for all the people." The very core of the angel's message and the very core of what lies at the center of our faith is the good news of the gospel that the angels brought to the shepherds that night. So, what is this good news? And I promise you, it is truly good news. Look at verse 11. "For unto you, born this day, in the city of David, is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Who does the angel say is born that day in the city of David? Someone who will judge you or shame you? Or do they say that born in the city of David that day is someone who will give you a list of tasks you need to do to find true meaning? No. The angel says a Savior is born. Now, is there an if in the text following that statement? Does it say, "Born this day is Savior, Christ the Lord, who will save you if you're good enough, or if you're wise enough, or if you have it all together"? No, in fact, that is the opposite of the gospel. It's the opposite of the good news the shepherds heard that morning. The angel simply says, "Unto you born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Unto you is born a Savior. But what is so good about this news? What do we need saving from? Well, first and foremost, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus saves us from our sins. And this is incredible news for me personally, because I know for a fact that I am a sinner. And this is incredibly good news for you as well, because even though you may not think it, even though it may not come to your mind every day, we are all indeed sinners. Paul makes this fact clear in Romans 3 when he writes, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We are all sinners who have indeed fallen short of God's glory. That's why the very first thing the angel says to Joseph about Jesus in Matthew 21 is so amazing. He says to Joseph, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is such incredible news for you and for me, because the sin in your life presently, or that one thing that happened years ago that you just can't seem to move on from, or the daily pattern and rhythms of sinful thoughts that have weighed you down for years, unto you, unto each and every one of us, is born a Savior who saves you from all of that. At the core of the good news is not only the fact that Jesus saves us from our sin, but also the fact that Jesus saves us from our shame. One of the things that I've learned is that shame is one of the most powerful forces that can dominate our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, and even our relationship with God. Each and every one of us has something in our past that when we look back on it, we think to ourselves, man, if only I could go back and do that differently, then my life would have been so much better. And these if only statements, these thoughts we have when we look back on things, that's the shame. That's the shame weighing on our hearts. And we all have these thoughts and feelings. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus didn't remain in the manger as a child forever. Instead, he grew up to take our sin and shame upon himself through his death on the cross. Hear these words from 1 Peter. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus wasn't born and Jesus didn't die so that we could hold on to these feelings of sin and shame throughout our whole lives. The good news of the gospel is that our shame has been dealt with by Jesus on the cross. When we go to Jesus in prayer and we say something like, God, I'm at the end of my rope. I have so much shame and I don't know what to do. Jesus says to us, I know. Give me your shame and let my peace rest upon your shoulders. Now, the fact that we are saved from our sin and our shame is indeed good news, but our hearts don't only long for a pardon from sin and shame. If we are truly honest with ourselves, our hearts also long for belonging. And this is where the good news gets even better. Listen to these verses from our New Testament reading in Galatians 4, 1 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The good news of the gospel isn't simply that we receive a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's so much more than that. We are saved so that we may receive adoption as sons and by the power of the Holy Spirit, cry out, Abba, Father. Through the wood of the cross, we are adopted into the family of God and our hearts find what we have been longing for all our lives, a place to truly belong. So the heart of the gospel, the good news proclaimed by the angels that night, is that we are saved from our sins by grace through faith so that we may be adopted into the family of God. This is truly good news. But how does it sit with you? Does it bring you a sense of peace and joy? Does this intimidate you? Does it stir in your heart a desire, a longing for more? Or perhaps the good news may be overwhelming for you because it stirs in your heart ways that you may have never experienced before. These are all good things for us to feel. Such an audaciously bold claim should stir our hearts. Brendan Manning, who's one of my favorite authors, sums up this feeling well in his book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, when he writes, "We should be astonished at the goodness of God, stunned that he should bother to call us by name, our mouths wide open at his love, bewildered that at this very moment we are standing on holy ground." If this good news is true, which I wholeheartedly believe it is, and if it does stir our hearts, how are we to respond? How are we to respond amidst these feelings of bewilderment, astonishment, and wonder? As we continue to look at the story in the second chapter of Luke's gospel, our responses to the good news of the gospel are informed by the shepherds' and Mary's responses. Look at Luke 2, verses 16 through 18 with me. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. But when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So Luke, he doesn't tell us much about the shepherds. He doesn't tell us how many of the shepherds there were. He doesn't tell us how old or young the shepherds were. He doesn't tell us their exact feelings other than the fact that they were afraid. But what he does tell us is this. The shepherds heard the good news. They responded in faith. They truly encountered Jesus, and they praised God for all that they had seen. When they went to Bethlehem, everything the angels told them and everything that had been proclaimed to them was confirmed, and their faith was confirmed. Everything the angels said was true. The shepherd's journey that began as a response of faith ended in praise. When our hearts are stirred by the good news of the gospel, we are drawn to praise and we are drawn to worship. That's why about 20% of the Psalms are Psalms of praise. And that's why when Caleb said earlier in our liturgy, "Lord, open our lips," we responded, "Our mouths shall proclaim what? Your praise." Now, there have been times in my life when I have felt so astonished by the good news of the gospel that the only thing I can think to say are the words of praise psalms or the words and the lyrics of worship songs. A contemporary Christian artist, Brandon Lake, captures this feeling well in his song, Gratitude, when he sings, "So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, because all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah." The shepherds teach us that one of the most important ways and one of the most powerful ways we can respond to the good news of the gospel is through praise. Now, Mary teaches us a second way to respond to the good news proclaimed by the angel. Look at Luke 2, 19 through 20 with me. "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." When the shepherds shared the good news from the angels with Mary, she didn't sing a song of praise. In fact, in that very moment, Scripture says that she didn't say anything at all. Instead, she took a moment and paused and soaked everything up in her heart and pondered them in her heart. Now, when I was thinking of how to describe Mary's thoughts and feelings here, only one image from my life came to mind. And when I grew up in a big family. I had two younger brothers and a younger sister. I have many aunts, uncles, and cousins. And when I was a kid, every year we'd go to my grandma's house for Christmas dinner. And all was not always calm and bright during those dinners. In fact, I may or may not have thrown a dinner roll across the table at my brother. My cousins would be running laps around the inside of my grandma's house, and we'd all be arguing over what activity we'd be doing after Christmas dinner, or who deserved the last piece of my grandma's famous peppermint ice cream pie. Needless to say, it was crazy. It was crazy Christmas dinner with all my family and all my cousins. Now, in the middle of this, I vividly remember looking at my grandma, who would sit in the same chair in the living room after Christmas dinner each year. And she did something that at the time seemed so strange for me. Through the craziness, she would sit quietly in her chair, watch her family run around, take a deep breath in, and just sit there and smile. 8-year-old me, I just couldn't figure out why she wouldn't do something or stop this potential wreckage in her home. And later on, I was fortunate enough to be alongside my parents, my siblings, and my cousins when my grandma passed away this past October. When I shared with my grandma, she was in the hospital, the good news that I would shortly be ordained a priest, my grandma had the same look on her face then that she had while we were running around her house on Christmas. And after reading this passage and looking back on those Christmases, I understand now what I didn't understand then and still didn't fully grasp this past October. Like Mary, my grandma had this incredible ability to sit silently and treasure up things in her heart. It's important, like the shepherds, to praise and worship God for the good news of the gospel. However, it's equally important to respond to the gospel in silence, treasuring up the good news in our hearts, letting it soak in, like my grandma let the joy of Christmas morning and her grandson's ordination soak into her heart. And it's just like the words of the psalm we read earlier say, when the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God." It is equally important for us to be still, know that the Lord is God, know that he is good, and soak up the good news in our hearts. So this morning, I genuinely hope and pray that you have heard the good news the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, the fact that we are saved from sin and shame by grace through faith, so that we may be adopted into the family of God. I also want to leave you with a question. If your heart has been stirred by the good news of the gospel, how will you respond? Will you respond in faith and praise and worship as the shepherds did? Or will you respond as Mary did and sit in silence before God, treasuring and pondering this amazing news in your heart? Or will you do both of these things? Either way, Christmas gives us this reminder that the angels proclaimed this good news for us. And this is a thing that we need to treasure in our hearts. And I pray that it is something that we can all do together this morning and throughout the new year that is about to begin. With all of this in mind, let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you so much for the gift of your son, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that as we hear the good news, as we hear the good news of the gospel, the good news of your son, Lord God, that you will stir in our hearts a desire to praise you. God, you will stir in our hearts a desire to sit in silence before you, to treasure up all of the good news in our heart. Lord God, I pray that as we go into a new year, you can stir in our hearts a desire to draw closer to you. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will fill each and every one of us. And God, I pray that the remainder of this service and all of your people, Lord, can be lifted up to you. And I pray this in your Son's name. Amen.